Welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we are studying Parshas Toldos. Parshas Toldos begins in the middle of the 25th chapter of Bereishis with the fervent prayers of Yitzchak and Rivka for a child, followed by Rivka's unusual and difficult pregnancy and her seeking the word of Hashem, and being told, according to Chazal by Shem and Aver, that she was expecting not one child, but two, and that they would become two nations, and that they would be eternal rivals, always striving for supremacy, and that ultimately the older would serve the younger. The twins were born, the first fully formed with a hairy body and was named Esav, the other holding onto the heels of Esav, thus earning the name Yaakov from heel. The chapter continues with the boys growing into young men and how differently they developed. While Esav was a hunter, a man of the field, Yaakov was a man of simplicity or perfection, ish tam, a dweller of tents, yoshev ahalim. Chazal tell us he studied Hashem's Torah. In this parak, Esav comes home exhausted and starving and demands that Yaakov pour him meha adom ha adom hazeh, this red, red stuff. Yaakov offers to purchase the bechorah, the firstborn status, and Esav happily agrees. Chapter 26 is the story of the famine that Yitzchak and Rivka experience and how they thought to go to Egypt as Avraham had done, but that Hashem told them not to, giving him as well a beautiful blessing, informing that Yitzchak's children would be like the stars and that Israel would be theirs. Yitzchak and Rivka travel to Gerar, and like his father before him, they pretend to be brother and sister rather than husband and wife. They are found out, and a horrified Avimelech protests. This is followed by the saga of the wells. Yitzchak digs them, and Avimelech's servants fight about who owns them. Hashem appears to Yitzchak again, and the chapter ends with a treaty, an agreement between Avimelech and Yitzchak. Chapter 27 begins with Yitzchak, now elderly and blind, preparing to give a blessing to his elder son, Esav. He instructs Esav to hunt and prepare him delicacies. Rivka, understanding what is at stake, convinces Yaakov, instructs him, disguises him, and prepares him to trick Yitzchak into giving the blessings to him rather than to Esav. After some suspicion and the famous words of Yitzchak, HaKol Kol Yaakov V'Hayadayim Yidei Esav, the voice is the voice of Yaakov and the hands are the hands of Esav, Yitzchak is convinced and blesses Yaakov. And it is only when Yaakov leaves the room and the furious and truly devastated Esav enters that Yitzchak understands what happened, but concludes that the blessing stands. Esav receives a different blessing, and the Parsha finishes with a very concerned Rivka getting Yitzchak to send Yaakov out of Eretz Yisrael, although for Yitzchak it was in order for Yaakov to get married, and for Rivka it was to get him away safely from Esav. I'd like to spend some time talking about these blessings. We understand that Yitzchak thought to give them to Esav, but that they were vitally important for Yaakov to receive. We know that. I think what is more difficult to comprehend for us is, why did it need to be this way? Why the trickery? Why couldn't it have been more straightforward? Was it really necessary to have Yaakov impersonate Esav in order to receive the brachos that Hashem had intended for Yaakov in the first place? Especially when we think about the damage it caused. Yaakov would need to escape, leave his family for decades. And the seeds of hatred that we are still dealing with today were possibly planted right there in the room where Yitzchak blessed Yaakov. There is a very interesting pasuk in the story of the brachos, chapter 27, verse 27. Vayigash vayishaklo, vayarach es reach begadav, vayivarchehu, vayomer, Re'e reach bini k'reach sadeh asher bercho Hashem. Yitzchak kisses him and smells the smell of his clothes, and he blesses him and says, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of the garden that Hashem has blessed." What is the meaning of this smell and his words? The Sfarno, among others, explains that the pleasure of the smell would provide enjoyment to his soul, putting his soul in the right frame of mind to be able to give him a blessing. The Tor and others explain that this garden smell continued to convince Yitzchak that the son before him must have been Esav, since, as mentioned, he was the outdoors man. And the Malbim explains that Yitzchak was telling his son that the clothing represents a person's outer qualities and that they too can be uplifted to do great things. They can smell nice, and that the blessing he would receive is perhaps a physical one about dew and rain, but that the goal is to do great things with the gifts Hashem grants us. However, the Medrash and the Gemara explain it differently. The Medrash asks, goats don't smell fragrant. They have a very bad smell. What was Yitzchak smelling? What is this beautifully fragrant garden smell? The smell of Gan Eden came in with Yaakov, and Yitzchak smelled that. And then the Gemara explains, when it says he smelled his clothing, don't read it Bigadav, but Bogdav, the ones who betray the mission. Even they were beautiful. Who is this referring to? The Medrash explains, like Yosef Meshisa and like Yakim Ish Tzuros, even they are beautiful. The Medrash tells their story. When the Romans came to plunder our Beis HaMikdash, they were afraid. They had heard of the miracles in the Beis HaMikdash and were afraid to enter. Maybe Hashem was still there. Maybe they would be punished. They were looking, so to speak, for a canary in the coal mine, and they found it in a Jew named Yosef Meshisa. They told him, go into the Beis HaMikdash. You can choose something to take. Whatever you take will be yours. Yosef Meshisa, not being very respectful, walked right in and came out shockingly with the menorah. Even the Romans were taken aback by his audacity, and according to the Medrash told him, we didn't mean the menorah. That is not a gift for a person. Go back in and take something else. But at that moment, something hit Yosef Meshisa, and he answered, I angered my God once. I will not anger him again. They offered him money. They offered him status. They threatened to punish him, and then they actually began to torture him. Yosef Meshisa began to scream, but not in pain. He cried out, how could I have angered my Hashem? That is Yosef Meshisa, and that is who Yitzchak smelled when Yaakov kissed him. And who was Yakum Ish Tzuros? He was the nephew of the great Yossi ben Yoezer, and he lived in the time of the Yevanim, the Greeks, and he was a Hellenist. And when the Syrian Greeks came to power, he was rewarded, honored, and promoted. His uncle, of course, the great Yossi ben Yoezer, known to many of us from Pirkei Avos, was hated by the establishment and was taken to be executed. And he rode next to his uncle, mocking and teasing him. Look at the horse my master places me on. Look at the one your master does. Meaning, look how my master takes care of me. Look how your master takes care of you. You're going to be killed. Rav Yossi answered, if this is how Hashem rewards someone who angers him, how much more will he reward those who do his will? Yakim burst out, does anyone do Hashem's will more than you? And the unspoken words are, of course, and look what Hashem let happen to you. You're going to die. And Rav Yossi ben Yoezer answered, if this is the treatment of those who serve Hashem, imagine what will happen to those who anger him. And again, something hit Yakim. And Yakim did such deep and powerful teshuva that as he died moments before his uncle, Rav Yossi actually cried out, wow, he made it into Gan Eden minutes before me. So that is the message. But what is the meaning? When Yitzchak was about to bless Yaakov, he smelled his bigadav, or bogdav, and it was fragrant like Gan Eden. What is a Jew, and who are we really? There's a story told that during the Holocaust, there was a Jew, so secular, married to a German, He was actually mayor of his city and was almost successful at hiding his Jewish identity. Someone informed the authorities, and the Nazis came for him too. He began to scream and yell, "I'm German! I'm not Jewish!" The Nazi yelled right back at him, "You are Jewish!" and handed him a Sefer Torah and ordered him, "Throw it on the floor and step on it." He couldn't do it. "Throw it on the floor!" He couldn't. And the Nazi laughed, "You're Jewish." And he answered, "I am, and thank you for reminding me." Let's go back to our question. If Rivka knew that Yaakov was supposed to get the brachos, why didn't she just come right out and say it to Yitzchak? "Honey, look, you are blind, and what seems to you like reality just isn't. Esav is not the son you think he is, and Yaakov should get the brachos." An even stronger question is, if Hashem wanted Yaakov to get the bracha, why couldn't he just inform Yitzchak? Yitzchak received nevuah, prophecy. Hashem was in communication with him. Why, if Yaakov was supposed to get the brachos, did it need to happen this way? Why the costume? Why the charade? Why the trickery? Why does Yaakov need to be dressed as Esav when he receives the brachos of Yaakov? Answer many Mefarshim, including the Divrei Chaim of Sanz, because sometimes that's our story. Because we don't always look like Yaakov on the outside all the time. Because sometimes we are Yaakov on the inside while we look at Esav on the outside. And so Yitzchak smelled his clothing and saw that the bogdav, the rebelliousness, it's just clothing. It's not who he is. Yosef Meshisa forgot for a while, but he loves Hashem. And Hashem did not want the bracha to only be attainable to a Yaakov who was dressed as a Yaakov. Hashem wanted the bracha of Yaakov to reach us, even when we are Yaakov on the inside, dressed as Esav on the outside. We aren't always true to who we are on the inside, because we sometimes forget who we are. But deep down, we are Jewish. And when push comes to shove, we are Jewish. Aren't we seeing that come to life today? 2 weeks ago, the number of soldiers who requested tzitzis was at 60,000. I don't know the number today. Sometimes we forget how much we love each other, but we do love each other. And we will risk our lives for each other. And we'll stand for each other and cry for each other and daven for each other. There is a promise that Hashem will make in next week's Parsha, but the seeds are right here in Parsha's Toldos. That Yaakov will find 12 stones and put them around his head, and in the morning they will be one. That is, that Yaakov will be Yaakov and remain Yaakov, and his children will make it. Avraham had a Yishmael and Yitzchak had an Esav, but all 12 sons of Yaakov will make it. All will receive the bracha, the mission, the destiny of Avraham Avinu, and all will be Jewish, and ultimately we will become one. Thank you for studying together.